Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was a previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I gotta tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we gotta do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
You know, that is absolutely true. You have to be able to find out the entire truth in a safe environment. And interestingly enough, she's talking triggers. She's really triggered by so many things. The fact that her husband works in a situation where he can meet people, and she doesn't know what to do about that. She doesn't know how to contain her triggers. And, you know, I got an interesting email actually earlier today, and it says, "Hi, Carol, it's from Barbara. Hi, Carol, it's Barbara, and we purchased your book, an online video program, 2 weeks ago, and my husband does not understand triggers. Well, you know, in my book, Help Her Heal, there is an excellent chapter on trigger busters, because what most men that want to stay in a relationship need to learn is how do they help their wife with triggers. And so it is actually on chapter 4. And what we know about triggers is that sometimes they make sense and sometimes they don't. So Barbara writes, "This morning I had a trigger and started to cry because we are not getting our unemployment benefits timely, and I am getting stressed. I have 4 children to worry about, and I'm very scared." Now, he apologized for me having that feeling, and then he started asking, "Why does everything trigger me? That even breathing triggers me." And he started to get angry, and he started lashing out at me. And so she said, "The trigger had to do with the struggles I go through financially with having an unemployed husband who has been unemployed a few times, and our family was neglected when my husband was acting out with his addiction or addictions. I got upset thinking about this woman and her having a husband who was never unemployed. They have a bigger home than us, and she has a couple of Mercedes. I am not jealous of her. My trigger was that she has an employed husband, financial security, fancy cars, and she tried to steal my husband and get him to divorce me. What can I say to my husband to get him to understand these triggers are real? He started therapy a month ago, but it seems to be going very slow. thank you. And then again, her name's Barbara. And here's what I know. I said, sometimes you know why you're triggered, sometimes you don't. So she was triggered because his affair partner is married to somebody who is employed. They have a bigger home. They have a couple of Mercedes. And it just felt so unfair to her that she should be going through this kind of stress. And it's not just the stress of his addiction. It sounds like it's financial stress, it's COVID stress, it's unemployment stress, and it's the stress of him saying he was sorry, but not really giving her the grace to have the trigger and to help her work through that. Call him Tom. And the good news is that Tom and Barbara are listening right now. When I said, I will address this on the show, she said, great, we will be listening. So, you know, what I know to be true is that all a spouse wants to do is feel safe. And really, you know, a partner wants to depend on her husband again. She wants to feel better. So, Tom, I'm going to say that you have to help her to feel safe. And we got to keep her out of that trigger mode as much as possible, although triggers can be and are unavoidable. I mean, at least she knew what this one was about. Sometimes triggers will just overcome the partner, and it makes them feel very helpless because they don't even know why they're triggered. So what I say is that when your wife feels triggered, you have to diligently and persistently help her through it by saying, honey, I can see that you're triggered. Is it true that you're triggered? And you don't want to blame, shame, invalidate the fact that she's triggered. And as soon as he realizes that she's triggered, he needs to validate the feeling. You know, I can see how scared and unsafe you are. It must remind you of when you first discovered that I was having an affair, or when you first discovered that I was looking at pornography, whatever that would be. And then what he needs to do is remind her that her trigger has to do with this affair partner and their financial gains and their Mercedes, and that she needs to know that he's not doing anything right now to put her in harm's way. And he knows how hard that must be for her and how afraid she must feel. However, he's not doing anything this morning, today, to make her feel triggered. And maybe he'll say something like, I'm not acting out now. You are safe, and I'm right here with you. And then, three, is to reassure her, perhaps multiple times, and say, I can see that this is a really bad trigger. You're safe right now. I'm here with you. And I will wait for you to go through this trigger. Now, in my book, I actually have, and I have your back. But I got a lot of feedback from partners that said, that doesn't really fit because he didn't have her back. And so, he might just reassure her that he's willing to sit with her until the trigger gets better. And then he and she together decide what she might need to defuse the trigger, because that is her job too. And maybe that's that he can rub the back of her neck or her forearm or her knee and just sit with her and say, I'm right here with you. I can see you're triggered. I know I caused it, but I'm not doing anything right now to make you feel safe. And that's called safety and co-regulation. It's four steps. We laugh and call it the relational CPR. It came from two of my colleagues. They're the best, Dort Reichenthal and Janice Cottle. And Janice has actually helped write that book on disclosures with Dan. You know, there's a partner's guide to disclosure and an addict's guide to disclosure. Really good books about what to expect when you're getting a good, formal, therapeutic disclosure. So, Tom, I would tell you three things here. And I'm so glad that you're listening to this show. I appreciate it. I'm not going to shame you, even though I want you to know the last thing you want to do is get aggravated at her for being triggered. Because ultimately, Tom, you know that you did cause this. And now you got to help her heal. So I'm glad you got my online course. And I want you to look at Chapter 4 on trigger busting. You may not have gotten that far. And since you already got the course, I want you to know that I am doing on July 18th a very specialized workshop for 3 hours on trigger busters and, you know, the Help Her Heal book. And I would be happy to encourage you to come to that workshop. They are putting that together on my website today. Now, I maintain that you have to buy the course first, but you've already bought the course. So now you just have to pay for the workshop and get some specialized help. Please read the book and go to the course before you come to the workshop. Because here's what I believe. Men need repetition. They need a lot of help on being relational. This isn't meaning to stereotype you, but men need it in general. And then people that have had affairs, that have had addictive behavior, they need even more help with relational skills for two reasons. Well, actually three. One is when you were in active addiction, you forgot how to be relational because you were really only thinking about yourself and how you could please you. Two, so basically the addiction has robbed you of being relational. Now you've caused all this havoc at home, and she's not making it easy for you to be relational because she's hurt, she's angry, she's wounded. And so you've got a bigger mountain to climb than you ever thought you could. And so you got that going on. So one, your addiction robbed you from that, and you weren't relational to begin with. Two, now you've got to deal with a hurt, angry, wounded partner who usually, in almost all the cases I work with, if you're willing to do the hard work, Tom, she's willing to make it work with you too. And three, it's so important for you to get with somebody who knows how to work with couples. I know that progress you're making with your other therapist may be good, but slow, according to Barbara. But I really want you, Tom, to find an APSATS coach or clinician who does couples work, early couples recovery work, to help you through this. Maybe you go through the course first and then figure out how to get with somebody. So go to APSATS.org. That's APSATS.org. And then, you know, it's also interesting because, Barbara, you might need to either get my post-traumatic growth course, which is also online, just to help remind you of your strength and your resiliency, or stay tuned for the rest of the show because I have several experts who want to talk about their exciting new project, Rediscovering Me. And it's an out-of-the-box kind of partner support group that's perfect for women who are looking for the opportunity to know themselves better, and they want resources, and they want to believe in their own post-traumatic growth. And, you know, whenever you've been through something really difficult, what can come out of that traumatic growth? So I'm going to be welcoming Galen Ray Emerson and her colleagues, Jackie Gray and Esther Elmer. And we're going to be talking about this group and why they put this project together and how they're seeing this, envisioning this for partners. Because personally, when we get you out of the safety and stabilization part, you know, and that's when the triggers become less, and you start doing your grieving and mourning and really work through that, it is time for you to restore yourself and know that regardless of your circumstance, you have lots of strength. And I find that women, partners, usually have one foot in and one foot out of all three of those stages at different times in their lives. So I am absolutely thrilled to actually have Galen, Jackie, and Esther, Esther, on the show today. Welcome, ladies, to Betrayal Recovery Radio.
Thank you, Carol. It's really great to be here.
Absolutely.
It's an honor to join you today.
Thank you so much, because I love hearing about new projects, and I especially have a fondness for post-traumatic growth. If you would, Galen, tell me a little bit about this new passion project, and I would love to know what rediscovering me, who am I beyond this trauma, what is this, and why should women sign up?
So thank you for the invitation to share about that, Carol. I've been developing this particular project in kind of in different waves and layers since April 2016. So it's been a long time in the development stage through various opportunities and implementations of it. And like nearly all of the endeavors that I've undertaken within this community of partners, this one was really inspired in direct response to the needs my clients have been actively expressing during this entire period of time. So I've been getting a lot of feedback from the partners, my clients who had done some of that really beautiful, really solid early recovery work. You know, they'd read all the books, joined all the groups, listened to the podcast, done all of the things, and that early recovery stage was really meaningful and measurable for them. But there was this almost inevitable point of plateau that my clients were experiencing, where after disengaging from so much of those dysfunctional dynamics that had developed through the course of living with relational trauma, they were really beginning to ask me and ask themselves, so what's left to my life and who I am and where my purpose is in the world? What's next for me within this whole healing journey? So I kind of knew at that point that I needed to create or to explore some kind of a next level opportunity for these women so they could continue healing and growing beyond that basic partner recovery experience. And I've really began to actively look and listen for some of the vehicles that I could employ to do that with my clients. So kind of in that vein, I stumbled into this beautiful body of work by a Canadian author, life coach, advocate, Heather Plett is her name. And she's created some material that really perfectly, like I couldn't have designed it better, fit the specifications that I really wanted to create for my clients. So as I got to know Heather and her paradigm for working with betrayal trauma and trauma survivors in general, I discovered that she's one of these practitioners who really, really gets the nuts and bolts of what it takes to heal from various forms of trauma. She's got a very rare and nuanced focus on that post-traumatic growth stage, which I know you is something you and I are both passionate about. And what really caught my attention about this work from Heather and then what I developed from that into a support group for partners is that she utilizes very organically more than one kind of healing modality for us to process and journey through these trauma narratives. So in this material, she doesn't only write about recovery topics. She doesn't only make journaling or writing or reflection prompts. She also brings in creative prompts, artistic exercises, some instrumental things that people can do and say and explore and experiment with, some embodiment stuff so that we're moving literally through our trauma, and kind of hits a lot of these high notes that are involved in that really deep process of trauma resolution that a lot of the other material out there just really didn't bring to the table. So to kind of follow up and answer your question, what's so special about this project and why am I so excited to relaunch it within this community of partners? I'd say it's special because it meets that need those partners are asking, saying, what's next for me in this healing journey? And it does so using some of the most powerful tools we have that allow us to start talking back to that trauma.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And we have Jackie and Esther on the line, and they actually have had the opportunity to experience some of this material, Galen. And so I was wondering, Jackie, you know, it sounds like this is a very specialized group based on trauma and post-traumatic growth. And I know you've had firsthand experience. So tell me, what are some of the ways that this material has changed your life?
Well, Carol, I also want to thank you for having us on today. And I have nothing but good things to say about the material, because it took me from that state, as Galen had mentioned, from healing from my trauma and being able to manage my triggers to I can move forward in the world. I had always been a pretty confident person, and then when discovery came and my world came crashing down, after I had processed all of that, I didn't feel confident in who I was. I knew I had changed, because I think anybody who's been through trauma knows it changes them, but how it had changed me, I wasn't sure. So what I did is I went through the program, and it helped me discover where I needed to move forward and how I could move forward. So let me give you an example. Not having any confidence, my situation had left me kind of isolated. And going through the material, the spiral path, I was still a people person. So I decided to volunteer in a medical building. And I was the lady that pushed the cart and offered the coffee, just to see if I could connect with people again, if I could meet them, make small talk, and did I enjoy it? But have I not gone through the material, I'm not sure I would have known that that was something that would help me get past my post-traumatic issues. So that's one of the things that it does. It also gave me an opportunity to integrate what I learned into the fiber of my being. And that's why we are doing the support group. Because then you get to share your journey with those around you.
Well, and help each other heal from sexual betrayal by noticing their own strengths. And it really does sound like it catapulted you into that place of wanting to recognize your strengths so that you could move on from the trauma of sexual betrayal. Is that correct?
That is totally correct, Carol. Yes, it certainly did. And sometimes I think that third phase of trauma, that reconnecting and integrating back into the world, is a piece that's missing. Because I've heard numerous partners make a statement, I don't want to talk about my trauma anymore, but I just feel unsettled. So this really,
absolutely,
I believe, addresses that unsettledness.
That makes a lot of sense, Jackie. And Esther, I know that you as a life coach knows what it takes to help your clients make powerful, positive, and sustainable life changes. So I was wondering if you could tell our listening audience, what do you think about the women who are signing up to embark on this journey? What do you think they can hope for or gain when they do this work for, let's just say, 6 months, the Rediscovering Me process? Is Miss Esther there? Okay. Well, I see that we have disconnected with her, but she heard us, so she'll be able to answer us. Esther, what do you think this process does when somebody works this process for 6 months?
Carol, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Yes.
Good. I don't know why we were not having a connection. Hi. Carol, I am so excited both to be on your show because I think so much of the work that you do, but I am super excited because I feel like the material that these women are going to get to go through is going to help in so many ways. What I love about Heather Plett's material is that she breaks it into three different phases that the women are going to go through. And I believe that each of those phases, the women are going to grow and stretch in so many ways. So let me unpack it for you. The first phase that the women are going to go through is a stage of release. Essentially, there are things that we need to let go of. So like you said, we're taking these women on essentially a six-month journey of the heart. And so as we embark on this journey, we all are going to have our backpacks on. And I don't know about you, but I tend to be an overpacker. Whenever I go and I visit my family on the East Coast, you should see, like, I'm regretting how heavy my bag is. So intentionally, we are taking the time in the beginning of our journey to say, okay, let's lug off these heavy backpacks, so to say, that we have, put them on the ground, and let's, like, repack them. Let's take out the contents that are weighing us down, such as expectations that we might be putting on ourselves or fears that are really gripping us or even armor that we have put on because of the different pains and traumas that we've gone through. And though we're going to acknowledge those things and perhaps they have served us for the time, we want to be able to lovingly ask now, is this serving me now? Is this something that I need to take on this journey with me now? Or is this something that perhaps for a time I can set aside? So we believe that within that first phase of release, we're already going to be lightening the loads of these women. And we find that that totally sets us up for the second phase, which is a stage of receiving. So we find that by lightening the loads, it creates all this internal space. And we know that so often within the noisiness and busyness of life, it's hard for us to hear that inner voice. And so when we can be able to lighten things and be able to get rid of the clutter and just have that quiet silence, it's amazing. We're able to, like, finally hear our hearts again and be able to have that time to really connect with our higher power and be given gifts of remembering who we are, remembering what's important to us, and be able to start to receive insights and maybe even glean wisdom from the pain that we've gone through. And so then by releasing and receiving, we then, that takes us into the last phase of our journey, and that is where we then need to return to the busyness of the world. And so what do we want? We want to be able to hold on to these gifts that we have, this brightness in our heart, and go back into the noise, embodying what we have received, so that not only can we be that, but then we can be able to share that with the world. So in summary, Carol, essentially we're hoping that through the steps that we take these women on in this journey, they're going to learn to let go of the things that suck life from them and be able to tune into what is it that really does give them life and energy? What is it that is really their true voice? And then be able to embody and live out who they really are beyond the noise. And I personally think that's something to be excited about.
Well, absolutely, as well as that, obviously, those two concepts beautifully parallel what addicts need to do to get healthy. I mean, it's that surrender process, releasing all those negative thoughts and feelings and old behaviors to your higher power. And then obviously substituting with what it sounds like you ladies are promoting, which is intentional self-care. And I believe that intentional self-care is the antidote for partner betrayal. So you make it sound very, very exciting, Esther. And I'm wondering, since Jackie has experienced some of this, Jackie, can you highlight some of the ways this group is different than typical support groups for partners of sex addicts? That's for Miss Jackie.
Yes, Carol, thank you. I'd love to share. Support groups, normally when we gather, we're sharing what we've been through and looking for that empathy that the others have and using their wisdom to help us move forward. This support group is more of an exploration group where everybody is on their individual journey, but we're going collectively. As Esther had mentioned, we're really excited about the three phases of the material. But there's also the way the material has been broken down. It gives you an opportunity to explore your individuality. Every session has three different prompts. One is a writing, one's a creative, and one's a physical. So you have an opportunity to explore all of those areas as you go through the journey. What happens in trauma is we become lower brain heavy, as you know. The amygdala and the lower part of the brain are trying to process what's happening to us and keep us safe. And as we deal with those triggers and we realize that we're our own people, we need to get that blood flow back up to the frontal lobe. And there's a right and a left side to that frontal lobe, the creative and the logic. And this integrates both parts on the journey. So it's exciting, and it's not only fun to take the journey and find the treasures as you've unpacked and put back into your backpack, but it also gives you an opportunity to verbalize to the group the discoveries that you've made. Because when we verbalize things, it becomes more solid in us. And then the group, over the course of the 6 months, which seems like a long time, but it takes a long time to do life, right, Carol?
Well, especially around partner betrayal and also restoration itself.
Right. So what happens is the group gets to witness those changes in you and spur you on so you can live your best life. Again, we are just so excited to begin this journey. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. And so, again, can you introduce the two online elements that comprise the project as a whole? And that would be for you, Jackie.
Oh, the two online elements? We have the Facebook group where we're going to be posting the materials so the women can have a chance to take a look at those before the second half, which is the integrated group on Wednesday nights. So the Facebook group will be for sharing. We'll be going live every once in a while, giving them some tips. We'll be starting, the word just escaped my brain, but we'll be having interaction through the Facebook page to answer any questions, any concerns, and just having that camaraderie as we go through our journey.
That makes a lot of sense. So there's a lot of extra support to women out there. Now, tell us more about the weekly integration sessions. I mean, that you and Jackie, and Gaylynn are all going to be coaching.
Absolutely. And I think that that's also one of the perks that the women are going to get is not only one coach, but they're going to have three coaches there to focus on them. So the term integration session is actually something that was coined by the author, Heather Plett, whose material we're going through. And that is because Heather, being a life coach herself, she knew that integration is like the heart of coaching. She didn't just want these women to read this book and come away with some wonderful insights and then go on their merry way. She wanted them to really own it. She wanted there to be a space where women could be able to personalize it and figure out ways that they could really live this out. So what we're going to do is during the Wednesday night meetings, women will be able to come and share in the group some of the challenges that they're bumping up against. And if they would like, they can be able to have one-on-one coaching in front of the group. That way we can be able to kind of get in there and be able to see, okay, where are some of the blocks that are coming up for you? And begin to start looking at some different angles and being able to hopefully help them to achieve some breakthroughs. The beauty of this in these integration sessions is twofold. First, as Jackie was saying, when this woman is sharing her journey and her challenges, the other women are getting to witness this. And by witnessing it, they, many times begin to be like, I so know what she's talking about. I struggle with that too. So they're able to then also benefit from what she's beginning to break down and take apart. But also they're able to do it from a different standpoint because it's not happening to them. They can be able to get to see things, even their challenge, from a different perspective. So it gives them different eyes. The second beauty of this is that after a woman is coached, she is then asked, would she like to have the opportunity to receive safe, thoughtful input from the other members of the group? And so what she then can be able to experience is being in a group with other women who, like we had said, this is a group for women who have experienced trauma. And so many times what trauma does is it tends to isolate us and to feel like no one understands what I'm going through. But instead, this is going to be a group with women who have been in the arena, who have in many ways experienced what it's like to really have their kicks, so to say, and who can be able to say, I get it. So they can be able to give to her empathy that she probably can't receive from her friends. And along with that, they can be able to encourage her, and they can make observations like, oh my gosh, 2 weeks ago, you were so focused on this thing over here, and now look at you. You've, like, turned a corner. Or when I hear you talking about that, it's like I see you lighting up. And I just feel like, Carol, insights like that are like gems. They are so healing and cathartic. And not only is it good for the woman who's receiving it, but it allows the group to feel like we're part of your journey. We are part of your victory. And so when a woman ends up experiencing, a breakthrough and success, it's like the group is experiencing breakthroughs and success. And so that's what we love about this group that we are providing, is that it's a hybrid between individual coaching and group coaching. And we believe that it just takes integration to a whole new level. So in regards to if women for some reason are not able to come to group on a Wednesday night, we recognize life happens. It just, things come up with family or commitments, or maybe it just isn't working with their schedule. So we still want them to be able to receive the benefits, the insights that come from their fellow group members. And so we will be recording those sessions and they will be available to them if they would like. But, of course, they also can be able to take advantage of the Facebook group throughout the week as well.
Oh, that is exciting. And it seems like you have been able to think of everything to make it easy for women to sign up for this incredible group and get all the support that they need. Gaylynn, I'm wondering, have the women missed out on anything? Is there anything that you would like to share, or are there questions that you think our listening audience, which are mostly partners, would want to ask you about this project?
That's really interesting. So one thing that I will highlight that I think is really important, and Jackie referred to this earlier when she was answering one of your questions, and that is that sometimes we encounter women who have been working with their betrayal trauma experience for so long. I hear this all the time. I can't stand one more conversation about sex addiction, one more conversation about betrayal, one more conversation about relationships. And so one of the things that we've really done intentionally with this group is designed it so that we understand that everyone registering for this group, it's a pre-screened registration, will be coming to it with an experience of some kind of relational. And yet, with that understanding, we are not going to be focusing on sex addiction, betrayal, relationships, or any of those things. This really is, as Jackie highlighted, our chance to heal ourselves, our way, for our own sake in a circle of women who are doing the same thing. So this is a really a group that I have not found anywhere else in its ability to meet women with those realities and yet hopefully avoid re-triggering and re-traumatizing stuff that in most cases for the women who are drawn to this particular experience has already been said, done, and signed, sealed, delivered. So I'm really excited about that. We really are going to be disciplined as a coaching team so that when women are potentially dealing with unexpected things that come up in their lives or relationships and may be inclined to go in that traditional trigger management, crisis intervention kind of direction, we're going to be able to say to them, oh my gosh, we understand. We've been there. Sometimes we are still there. We really want to encourage you to take that to the rest of your support system so that we can maintain this group space as a space that's focused on healing, on self-rediscovery and self-reclamation. So that's one of the things that I would say to partners who may be wondering what is this compared to other things I've done and what is the role of that? Another thing that's been really, really important to us is that, like Esther said, 6 months is a really long time. We've debated as a team, you know, is there a benefit to making it shorter, making it longer, whatever. We really hope we've hit a sweet spot in terms of giving women a chance to really invest half a year into this part of their healing when they have normally invested years already through their experience of trauma. So we want to make this as accessible, as flexible, as approachable, as adaptable as we possibly can. One of the things I love about the team that we've put together here, Jackie and Esther and I, we are each very different women. We have a different relationship configuration, different spirituality, different age, generation, stage of life, coaching experience, all kinds of differences between us. And so we fully expect that when participants join our group, they're going to glean, as Esther said, not only the point of view from one professional working within these modalities and these sessions and these special spaces, but also the kind of combined greater than the sum of its parts impact from all of us. One of the things I will say is we are going to be really strict about registration deadlines so that we can all start together in the same space, in the same time, like a sisterhood. So we're closing registration for this group on June 7th, and I know that's not far away from now. We have about two-thirds of our registration filled. We're going to cap it at 15 women total. We've currently got about 10 on board. So if anyone listening is interested in more details or more opportunities to get involved in this particular project launching in June, now's the time to do that.
Okay, and so one more time, they can get more details on womeneverafter.com/events. And they should look for the project Rediscovering Me, Who Am I Beyond My Trauma?
Yes, that is correct. If you go to my website, womeneverafter.com/events, it should be the first one right up there at the top. And also anywhere on my website, several places on my website, is my contact information. So if it's easier for someone just to send an email or a phone call or a text message, I'm going to be as available as possible during these next 10 days or so to be able to field any inquiries that come our way.
Oh, boy, this sounds fabulous. And I thought you were going to tell me there were 40 or 50 women that you were hoping to gain. So the fact that 15 women can get this kind of expertise from three different coaches in two different formats, it sounds amazing. And, you know, ladies, one of the reasons that I created the Post Traumatic Growth Online course was because I get that there are women that say, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to read about it. I don't want to talk about it, because they don't want to be defined as a partner of a sex addict. But oftentimes they forget how important it is to focus on themselves and restore their own sense of self-esteem, self-worth, and self-enjoyment. And so this sounds like this project is going to be pulling all that together for them. And in the context of being with lots of women who want the same thing and three very special coaches who are going to get them there.
That's a really accurate summary, Carol. And it sounds like you're as excited about this as we are. And I love that.
100%. So I would encourage our listening audience to go ahead and go to womeneverafter.com/events and sign up for this group. They've made it super simple for you. It's on post-traumatic growth, and it's really about how do you redefine yourself after trauma. And we all know that trauma does not feel good, and yet it does end up reaping incredible strengths if you're willing to look at how you've changed for the better. And that's what this program is going to be helping. So, ladies, thank you so much. Does anybody want to add anything before I let you go?
You know, I actually do. I have one last little afterthought that's something that came up just between the three of us as we were talking last night. Each one of us has gotten some inquiry from individuals within our circle and reach of influence asking, so where's something like this available for men? Now, this material is actually written very exclusively for women, but the feedback that we're getting from those who are hearing the information that we're sharing about this group is this is a journey of releasing, receiving, returning, reintegration, self-rediscovery that men are asking about as well. So for those of you who are thinking in terms of what comes after what's happening now, that is something that we may be developing in the relatively near future. So feel free to drop us a line and let us know if that's something that appeals to you as well.
Oh, good point. Yeah, we want everybody to get healthy and for everybody to find their own post-traumatic growth. So, ladies, thank you so much for sharing this passion project, and I look forward to hearing from other women that have benefited from this and are paying it forward by telling other women. Thank you so much.
We will be keeping you in the loop, Carol. You can promise you that. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Caitlin, Esther, and Jackie. I appreciate so much you coming on. Okay, so that is, again, a rare and exciting new project for partners of sex addicts, and it's focused and fueled toward post-traumatic growth. It's called Rediscovering Me, Who Am I Beyond My Trauma? It sounds like a great book, Galen. All right. And you know I'm all about you all taking care of yourself and finding the support you need to be the best ever. You know, one thing I have probably said four times today in my work with partners and addicts is that for my partners, you did nothing in your marriage to cause your husband's addiction. You did nothing. There was nothing wrong with you. There was nothing lacking. There might have been something wrong in the marriage. There might be something lacking in the marriage, but that has nothing to do with his addiction. And so I want you to be realistic, and I want you to know that that's a separate condition that probably began before you even met him. And it also means on the converse side that he did not participate in this behavior because of you. And he did not necessarily think there was anything wrong with you. He kept you and the addiction in two separate boxes. And that's what they call compartmentalization. And so when you begin to question yourself, wonder what you did wrong, feel inadequate, I want you to quickly change that thought and use what I call a reality affirmation. And it goes like this. Starts out with the reality. Even though my husband was looking at pornography and images online, what I know to be true is that I am perfect exactly as I am. Or even though my husband chose a multitude of sex workers to participate with, I know that our intimacy was not lacking because of me. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you did have a low libido, or you didn't like sex, or you had some trauma, there might have been some issues related to your sexuality that showed up in the marriage. But an addict never picks somebody else because of those inadequacies. He may use that as a rationalization or justification, but that's not really the reason. So disengage, detach from any personal feeling that you're responsible for his addiction. And consider looking at post-traumatic growth, will you? Even if you're not there yet, I know I have my clients take that course because I want them to see what's possible. And I have 8 partners on this course that talk about how they got to the other side. And as one woman was telling me today, she goes, I didn't realize I was using so many of those concepts. I'm not giving myself enough credit. And I said, bingo, that's why I want you to look at this, not just for what you can gain from it, but for what you're already participating in, believing in, utilizing, and showing up with growth aspects to who you are yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, the end of the show. As I say, at all times, there will only be one of you at all times. Fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And we'll see you next week for more Betrayal Recovery Radio.
For more information, go to ABSTEP.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.